One of the things that I do, the moment I start my classes, whether when I was a pastor in Puerto Rico or now at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, is to not just try to break the ice, but to do something which I think is very important for what could be called this new theology that is beginning to emerge in the United States among the Hispanic community, which is a kind of opportunity to build up intimacy. And in order to do that, I'd like to speak a little bit about myself, who I am, and why I'm doing some of the things that I'm doing. Well, my name is Jose David Rodriguez Hernandez. There's a tradition in Hispanic countries. We keep it in Puerto Rico to keep not only our father's last name, but our mother's last name. And it's very useful because instead of using our same name, my father and myself, and then referring to Jose David Rodriguez Sr. and Jose David Rodriguez II or Jr., we can differentiate and people can really understand who's writing something or who's to be blamed for something by noticing the second last name. My father's complete name is Jose David Rodriguez Rivera. That's the last name of my mother, and my father's mother, my grandmother. And my complete name is Jose David Rodriguez Hernandez. I was born in Puerto Rico. That's an island in the Caribbean. My father was a Baptist minister and later on became a Lutheran pastor. He liked so much theology that he did advanced studies in theology. We went to Maywood, Illinois in 1958. And after some years of advanced studies, he decided to become a missionary. And we went to Argentina. And there we stayed for 3 years. He was a professor of the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Argentina. And that gave us an opportunity to travel all around Latin America. After that, I came back to Puerto Rico. I finished my college education at the Universidad de Puerto Rico. Later on, I began very much interested in what my father was doing. And started my first year in seminary at an ecumenical seminary in Puerto Rico in 1971. After that, I moved to Chicago for the second time, but now it was my turn to study. And I finished my master's in divinity degree there. In fact, I did a fourth year internship in Puerto Rico, where I was the parish pastor of two congregations. And later on, got interested in the theme of theology and responding to a basic need in Puerto Rico, which was to train pastors. We have to come to the United States. I decided that maybe I would take a shot at doing some graduate work and you hopefully go back to Puerto Rico and become a teacher. Well, I did come in 1978 and stayed for a while. I thought it was going to be a matter of 4 years to finish a doctoral degree. It took me a little longer. I finished my doctoral degree in 1987. I was married when I got to Chicago. I went through a family crisis and a divorce and remarried then to Colleen Nelson, right up there. We have four children. One is in college, Courtney Luther College, Decorah, Iowa. Two of them are 16 years old. They are in high school. And the smallest one, David, is around there, probably being babysat. Now, when I came to seminary, I was, in fact, the first Hispanic and Puerto Rican who did several things. I was the first Hispanic to graduate from the master's in divinity degree from the Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago. I was the first Puerto Rican who finished a THM degree and later finished a PhD degree from the school. And I was the first Hispanic with a doctoral degree who joined the faculty in 1987. I'm not saying those things to try to impress you about degrees and things like that. I'm probably saying those things because what I remember most of all of those things was that it was a very lonely journey because I was the only Hispanic able to go through all those stages. And of course, one of the things that I want to say tonight as a way to introduce the theme that I want to present was the feeling of estrangement, the feeling of being not only alone, but being in a whole different world. Imagine yourself going to, Australia or Africa or another country, totally different. You're the only person there. And you're struggling to be able to finish your education and become competent in an area. And one of the things that you're going to begin to struggle with is the sense of identity, meaning in your life, of what you do, of what is important to you, and as you know, other people, whether it's important to them or secondary or not important at all. So that's part of my journey. One of the things that I learned very quickly when I was in a study to become a pastor was that while we all Christians, while we all believers, they even say, while Lutherans as a denomination, might believe in the same God, might believe in the same Christian symbols, might be part of a particular tradition, there are different ways that our history and our struggles begin to relate to our understanding of faith and to our challenge of our witness and obedience to that vocation, Christian vocation. Something very funny happened to me when I was in my first parish. I was very proud of myself because I learned from my family and my father, who were a very competitive family, that we needed to do our best in anything and everything. So I think I did well in college. I think I did well in seminary. So when I was in my first parish, I basically knew, and I had received great grades because I wanted to do advanced studies too at that time. So I was very careful to do my best in my studies. So I went to a very humble parish, a very humble people, down to earth, that of a common sense, a poor community. And I started to preach. And in fact, the congregation, when I went there, had split it. And I was beginning to bring it together again. And I remember that I worked very hard. In fact, I stayed Saturday nights until, 10, 11, 1 a.m. on Sunday night, 2 a.m., trying to put together those sermons. And worked very hard. And after 6 months in the parish, I remember that the council president, which was a young person like me, very bold, very outspoken, called me to his home with my family because he wanted to speak to me. There was a problem that he knew was taking place in the congregation, and he wanted to talk to me about it. So I went there. I was so confident. I had my degrees from college, from seminary. In fact, at that time, the Lutheran School of Theology was one of the flagship seminaries of the Lutheran LCA, Lutheran Church in America. And I was confident that I had gone to the best seminary of the Lutheran Church at that time, and I was going to solve any problem that this council president had stored in the congregation. He invited us for dinner. And we had a wonderful dinner. After dinner, and we had some coffee, he called me to the porch, the garage. And I was a little curious. I mean, I was a little appalled that he had called me to the porch, to the side. Because, you know, if I was going to speak, I wanted to speak in front of everybody. And what happened was that he came very humbly, very firmly. He said, "Pastor, you know, we've been together for 6 months. You are a wonderful person. You're a very kind person, neat person. But you know what? You don't know how to preach." When he said that to me, it was like the floor, it was taken from my feet. I felt that I had failed, that, you know. I felt so confident up until that time because I had the degrees to share. I could have a conversation with anyone about Lutheran theology, the confession, Christian thought. And I could pull from my files papers that were graded A, I mean A and A plus. And this person who had not finished high school yet came to me and told me, "Pastor, you can't preach." I can't tell you how bad I felt. But I let him continue. Maybe something I learned, I don't know if it was from my experience, from my home, from my studies, was not to make quick judgments, but to learn and listen to what was going on, to see what I could figure out, what was at stake. And he said very lovingly, he said, "Pastor, when you go up there to the pulpit and you begin to talk about the Word of God, it seems like you're talking to a different audience. Seems like you're talking to people probably back there in Chicago. It seems like your understanding of God, your understanding of the church, your understanding of the witness of faith might be good, but it's not the kind of witness of faith that we need to be listening to here. It's foreign to us." And I say, "Oh no, what does that mean? I have to go to seminary 4 more years? Try to figure it out." Well, I guess I learned something from that person. And what I learned is that culture, history, and faith are elements that intermingle. That gets enriched and you're able to understand the Word of God more clearly throughout cultural elements and cultural experience and historical experience. But it also happens that sometimes those experiences become difficult in trying to understand the Word of God. I was probably trained in a seminar that the audience, probably surely, the audience was expected to be middle class North American people. And the professors there, I think, did a good job at trying to understand what the audience values, challenges, problems were, but I failed to make the change when I was in Puerto Rico to understand the kind of audience, to understand the people I was to preach the Word of God. And later on in life and in my studies, I learned that there are different perspectives in theology that are important to come to terms with. And now, I guess, we know that, for example, there are theology that come from Europe, from North America, and from the third world, and while they are referring to the same Christian tradition, the perspective is different. Well, what I want to share with you throughout that particular personal history is that there is the beginning of the emergence of a theology, the Christian theology, and we can call it also Lutheran theology, Methodist theology, Roman Catholic theology, that is emerging in the United States from the perspective of the Hispanic Americans. We are now beginning to be very familiar with the what we call liberation theology from the third world. And probably almost most people, I would say, are somewhat familiar with what we call the liberation theology from Latin America. Well, what's happening today too is that out of the experience of the Latin or Hispanic Americans in the United States, a perspective is beginning to develop. An articulation of one's understanding of the Word of God and the challenge of the Word of God to us to witness to our faith and to respond to our vocation as believers is beginning to take place. And it's in its early stages, but it's beginning to become an important voice. Throughout these presentations, what I want to try to do is to help you become familiar with the main characteristics of this perspective. Today and this week, what I like to do is to deal with what is one of the most important focuses of this Latin or Hispanic theology, which is its particular understanding of Scripture. Before doing that, let me just say a few words about the publications that are beginning to emerge and the people that are beginning to put this together. Probably the place where this Latin or Hispanic theology is most clearly developed is in a journal of theological reflection called Apuntes, which in English the translation would be footnotes. This is published by the Mexican-American program at Perkins School of Theology. It's a Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas. But it's an ecumenical journal. The editor is Justo González. Justo González is surely one of the most important Hispanic theologians in the United States. He finished his theological education at Yale University in 1961, and his expertise is the history of dogma. He taught in Puerto Rico for 8 years, and then he's been around the world, not only in Latin America, but really around the world, and it's beginning to take a very strong initiative in articulating this new perspective that is emerging in the United States. González has over 45 publications, but one of the latest ones, which I'm going to mention because I think it's very important, it's a book called Mañana. And the title is Mañana, Christian Theology from a Hispanic Perspective, here in the United States, published by Abingdon Press. It was published in 1990, and it's probably one of the very most recent proposals at understanding and developing a Christian theology from, again, a Hispanic American perspective. Not a Latin American perspective in Latin America, but a Hispanic or Latin American perspective.
Gomez, is that the name?
No, Justo L. González, G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z. Probably the other most important author, well, there are four very important authors. Another important author in this trend of developing Hispanic American theology in the United States. Oh, by the way, Justo González is Cuban, born. The other important author is Virgil Elizondo. He has a book that was published in 1984, and the title is The Galilean Journey. He's a Roman Catholic priest, and he's director of the cathedral in San Antonio, which is one of the oldest. I just brought one of his book, and the title is The Future is Mestizo. By the way, ironically, most of these works are published in English. And I'll tell you later on why that is so. The Journal of Apuntes is published in English and Spanish. And while these are the most constructive alternative, the most polished publications that bring forth a more clear understanding of let's say, the doctrine of God, or the problem of culture and faith, the Journal of Apuntes is a publication where pastors, professors, seminarians, and lay people write, and it's really the collective work of all of those who are engaged in this ministry, this community, this way of doing theology. Now, there's another important book that I wanted to mention, because it's a very interesting fact that living in the United States, we cannot avoid all the challenges of other theological perspectives. And there's another important book in relationship to the development of this Hispanic perspective called Hispanic Women, Prophetic Voice in the Church. And this is written by two young Hispanic women. One of her Her name is Ana Maria Isasi Diaz, and the other one, Yolanda Tarango. And it's interesting, this publication, because it begins to follow one of the trends of the publications that are very common in this perspective, which is bilingual. Sections of the books are in English and other sections are in Spanish as well. So it's going to turn to the reality of Latino Hispanics in this country. And one of the important issues is that one is living and struggling and relating to a multicultural reality, and your contribution needs to be not only in Spanish, but also in English. And besides, many of the families that are living here in the United States that are Hispanic, their children, usually Spanish becomes a second language and not a first language. So that's an issue that we have to deal with, which is, I think it's good. I mean, the more languages that you learn, the better. So those are at least general things that I wanted to share with you about how this perspective is beginning to be articulated. In fact, I'm going to suggest also that there is a journal called Religious Studies Review. It's an academic journal. But in its issue of April of 1991, of this year, it has a very interesting review by a Hispanic. His name is Fernando F. Segovia. He's a professor at is Drew University. And the article is entitled A New Manifest Destiny, The Emerging Theological Voice of Hispanics in America. And what he does is to begin to make a review of the words that I mentioned and others that are important in this new development. I have a copy of the see it later on. Now, what is the Hispanic theology emerging in the United States? I was invited last year to write an article in Apuntes trying to make a summary, a brief review of the last 10 years of this theological development in the United States. And I began to reflect about what is more characteristic about this theology. And of course, this is a theology or a perspective that is related to what we call Latin American theology. Of course, you all know that in 1971, Gustavo Gutierrez publishes a famous book, Teología de la Liberación, Liberation Theology, and this work was translated into many, many languages and became, to be sure, one of the most important works that began to articulate a perspective from the Latin American community. And for many of us, Latin American theology has been a source of inspiration. It has been something that has helped us understand and affirm our understanding of our faith and our challenge towards an obedience of faith. But it has also helped us understand that we are challenged to develop our own particular perspective. Justo González, in one of his comments about the need to develop a Hispanic American theology, made the following story. A few years ago, the president of a prestigious seminary in one of the largest cities of this country was proudly sharing with him the fact that almost half of the faculty of his seminary were so interested in Latin America liberation theology that they were learning Spanish. González responded that he was indeed happy, very happy to learn that there was a Latin American theology that had aroused so much enthusiasm from the faculty members of that seminary, but that it was a real pity that their decision to learn Spanish developed because there were so many interesting books to read, and not from the fact that their seminary, their very own seminary, was surrounded by hundreds of thousands of poor Spanish-speaking people in need of the gospel. This is the challenge. It's good to talk about liberation theology, but what about the theology